But, you know, as I look back on the last 5 years of no-nonsense nutrition, and I think about all the stuff that I've covered, mostly about food, but also about treatments and about herbs and homeopathy and various nutrients, all of the things that can help to contribute to improving health, I realize that sometimes we overlook the obvious. And in this particular instance, the obvious is water. You know, you're not sick, you're thirsty. When I look at the place that water has in treatment, it really is way more than the basic. It's the foundation. And so we're going to talk today not only about water and how your body needs water and what we need to do, but moreover, what are we getting in that water? What's coming out of the tap and the bottle and the water fountain? And can we honor that the human body developed from a species that were given life in water? You know, the dependence on life-giving properties of water are inherited. The role of water itself in the body of mankind, humankind, has not changed since the first creation of life from salt water and its subsequent adaptation to fresh water. So when we look at the earlier water-dwelling species that adventured beyond their boundaries, you know, they crawled themselves up on the land, and that would constitute as much stress as you could have. They would literally dry up. And so now we've got cholesterol. One of the primary functions of cholesterol is to make you waterproof, so that when you go to Siesta Key Beach, you don't sink like a stone. But the body has such a critical need for adequate amounts of water. You know, we're about anywhere from 60 to 75% water. The reason I give such a big range is because the younger the child is, the fluffier their cells are. If you look at the cells of newborns and young children, generally they're all puffed up like a grape. And as we age, that grape, unfortunately, turns into more of a raisin. And we don't have as much fluff inside that cell. And that's one of the things that we want to do, is prevent and treat dehydration, because we have dehydration-produced diseases. Yeah, dehydration alone. The simple truth is dehydration can cause disease. Everybody knows water is good for the body, but they don't seem to know how essential it is to people's well-being. They don't understand what happens to the body if it doesn't receive its daily need for water. The body actually rations water inside the body. There are water reserves in the body. Water moves around the body all the time. You know, if you eat a meal and your belly is pretty dry, your body will squirt some water into your stomach. Yeah, literally. And so we do have regionality. But every function of the body is monitored and pegged to the flow of water. Water management is really the only way of making sure that adequate amounts of water, and it's the nutrients that are transported in it, reach the vital organs that have to confront whatever stress your body is going through. And you know, when we talk about stress, we're not just talking about the traffic on 41 in February. When we talk about stress, we want to understand that one of the biggest stresses on the body is temperature. Temperature is one of the four biggest stresses that the human body can endure. If it's too hot, the only thing you can think about is getting cool. And if you are chilly, the only thing you can think about is getting warm. So I guarantee you, that's a stressor when it captures every thought in your head. We want to understand that it is water creates the ultimate operative system within the body. And so if one function doesn't receive enough water, its predetermined share, then we're going to begin to see a breakdown in function. The brain function takes priority over all other systems. You know, the brain weighs about a 50th of your total body weight, but it receives 20% of your blood circulation and 20 or 25% of your oxygen. And the brain is wetter than anything else. You know, when you see those pre-made cartons of pudding that they have at the market in the refrigerator section right up next to the yogurt. If you touch that pre-made pudding, that's about the same viscosity your brain is, about 85% water. It's a pretty slushy, mushy kind of thing. And when you get dehydrated, you can get a headache. Almost every client that I have that comes in that complains of headaches on a regular basis is dehydrated. And when we talk to them about just drinking a full glass of water as soon as you get out of bed in the morning, and they turn to me and they go, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. I said, well, can you drink a mouthful of water when you get out of bed in the morning? And then we go from a mouthful to a half a cup, and from a half a cup to a cup, and gradually increasing the amount of water, because there is a formula, and I'll repeat it several times, and that is that you take half your body weight and express that number as ounces. So if you weigh 150 pounds, then you need 75 ounces of water a day. If you weigh 128 pounds, you need 64 ounces of water, which is 2 quarts. A quart is 32 ounces. 2 quarts is 64 ounces. So a 128-pound person needs 2 quarts of water every day. And that's not beer or wine or soda or juice or soup or Red Bull or Gatorade or vitamin water or anything like that. It is just water. It's not possible to drink manufactured beverages as a full replacement of the water needs for the body. This is especially true if there is aspartame or NutraSweet in the product, which actually acts like a dehydrator. A lot of people don't realize all of the chemical roles that water takes, that water contributes to in the body. You know, it's one of the basic mistakes in medicine. You know what we've tried to do is we've tried to medicate thirst. We've tried to treat the disease instead of treat the person. When we look at the fact that we're headed over 30% of our gross national product being spent on healthcare, it would seem like it would be pretty simple, instead of looking at these world costs where we're spending $1,000 billion. Yeah, $1,000 billion on personal healthcare costs, that drinking an extra glass of water, you say, would be a simple enough way to reduce that cost? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So if you think tea and coffee and alcohol and manufactured beverages are desirable substitutes for natural water, well, I'm going to ask you to think again. When it was thought that the Earth was flat, it took a long time until the new understanding was created that the Earth was round. And so the paradigms that were holding the concept that the Earth was flat was inaccurate. And it didn't make any difference how inaccurate they were. There were some people that were still going to defend them. And I can recall Max Planck, the famous mathematician, and I can't quote him exactly, but it's something to the effect of, we don't really change people's minds. What we do is we end up with a new generation, and that new generation believes the new concept right from the beginning. So a scientific truth is not usually presented in a way to convince its opponents. Rather, the opponents die off. And then the rising generation is familiar with the truth right from the start. And so the truth that we're talking about here is that we have this erroneous assumption that a substance can be responsible for causing a disease, one particular substance. But in fact, with the treatments that we have in medicine today, they're all palliative. You know, there's virtually no cures. Actually, the pharmaceutical companies aren't really interested in curing you, because if they cured you, you wouldn't keep buying their drugs. So the idea is to make sure you are treated. And so being treated means we can treat you for an entire lifetime. So asthma's not cured by inhalers. You know, that's the constant companion of somebody that's afflicted with asthma. And yet we've had clients in our practice that we get them off of dairy products, or we get them off of weed, or we get them off of whatever they happen to be sensitive to, and their asthma is uneventful. You know, the nature of the acid indigestion, people take pills to suppress the acid, and maybe they don't have indigestion, but they get osteoporosis pretty quick. So we want to begin to change this paradigm, and one of the places that we want to do it is by changing the level of thinking that we have about water. Remember, if you take half your body weight and express that as ounces, that seems like a ton of water. But what's true is the nature of getting that water in is it's going to solve so many problems all by itself. Getting adequate water increases your energy. It improves your mental and physical performance. It removes toxins and waste. It keeps your skin healthy and youthful and glowing. It benefits weight loss. It reduces headaches. It helps digestion. It helps keep your body alkaline. It protects your heart. It manages kidney stones. It can prevent and manage urinary tract infections. In fact, all infections. It relieves constipation. Water alone will lubricate muscles and joints. It helps you absorb nutrients from food. It aids circulation. It helps the body's cooling system. Water is better than any wonder drug in maintaining your health. So, you don't feel good? Have a glass of water. You got a headache? Have a glass of water. You feel tired? Have a glass of water. The first thing you want to do is solve the regional dehydration problem. And so, all too often, people no longer go to their tap. You know, the soft drink manufacturers figured out a number of years ago that soft drinks had leveled off in terms of sales. Gasp! You know, we're astounded. And so, how do companies grow? They grow by creating new markets and creating new products. So, they realized that they had to do something to keep those sales up. And so what they did is they made tap water bad. They made us feel scared and insecure. It's called manufacturer demand. We didn't know we needed, you know, this product until the manufacturer made us aware of it. So the nature of a materials economy is that once Perrier started, and I remember hearing a joke one time, I can't relate the joke, but it was about the French in general holding their sides and laughing and going, "We are selling the Americans bottled water, ha 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 ha." And that was the beginning of it. That we created this scared and insecure feeling to make us move to bottled water. Well, there's some reasons to be scared and insecure. There is definitely a tremendous amount of toxic load that is still present in tap water. But what's true is that just because it comes out of a bottle doesn't make it any better. You know, we look at things like Aquafina and Dasani, the bottled water that is sold to us by Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola, and what we find out is that it's nothing more than filtered tap water. So when we look at some of the studies that have been done about the bottled water, you know, the one that blew my mind the most was when they went to Walmart and Sam's Club and they bought bottled water there and they found out how many contaminants they were. Well, when they actually did the research, it turned out that the stuff that they were selling at the Walmart and Sam's Club was nothing but tap water from Las Vegas. I've got the citation here that actually came from the study. It showed that bottled water contained disinfection byproducts, fertilizers or residue, and pain medication. Because bottled water industry is not required to disclose the results of contaminant testing that it conducts. Yeah, there's no regulations. So the purity of bottled water can't really be trusted. When the environmental working group went out and bought 10 popular brands of bottled water, it contained 38 different chemical pollutants altogether with an average of 8 contaminants in each brand. And a third of those chemicals were not regulated in any way, shape, or form. So the only real difference that came from the cocktail of chlorine disinfectant byproducts. Now, I said that so easily. Chlorine disinfectant byproducts. what happens is when chlorine is used to make water bacteria-free, it can create pretty nasty byproducts. And so those disinfectant byproducts are called trihalomethanes. And those trihalomethanes are not supposed to be in the water. But Walmart Sam Choice bottled water that was purchased in San Francisco had these trihalomethanes at levels that exceeded California's state legal limit for bottled water. The byproducts are linked to cancer and reproductive problems. And all they did was take Las Vegas tap water and put it in a bottle and sold it in San Francisco. Pretty reprehensible as far as I was concerned. But it didn't matter. When we looked at bottled water, we found all kinds of problems with it. You know, I generally tell my clients that when you're buying bottled water, the thing you're looking for is the word spring in the title, because the word spring in the state of Florida is a protected title. You can't put the word spring on a bottle unless it golly really came from a spring. And so it doesn't mean that all springs aren't contaminated. There are some springs that are contaminated, but at least it gives us a little bit better odds. The nature of the of buying bottled water has got problems that are separate from the toxins that are in it. The thing that I see that really is the issue is we have to stop buying plastic bottles. You know, we're talking about reducing our consumption of oil, you know, getting rid of the big gas guzzlers, you know, turning down the thermostat, doing other things to reduce our use of oil. And yet, we buy plastic bottles, 80% of which don't get recycled. They just get thrown out. And even the ones that get recycled, we think somehow that there's this factory somewhere that all these bottles that we use for a total of 2 minutes and then dispose of go to and get somehow remade into other plastic bottles. But that's not actually true. The majority of plastic bottles do not get recycled. They get downcycled, and they get downcycled to lower quality products. They send, they being the corporate they, boatloads of plastic bottles to India. There are places you can go in India where instead of looking at the label of the bottle where it shows some pristine mountain stream, you can actually see mountains of plastic bottles that are going to be downcycled into lower quality products. It's astounding. The billion and a half barrels of oil that we use every year in order to make these water bottles not only cause more demand for oil, but they're filling up our landfill. 10% of the total amount of landfills, and in Florida, we got a problem with having space for landfills. Forget about what's happening up in Long Island and New Jersey. We're running out of space. And part of it is because of the plastic. You know, when there's a billion people that live on the planet who don't even have access to water, I wonder why we're spending 2,000 times more than tap water. You know, if you paid 2,000 times more for an item, let's say you went out to lunch and instead of buying a $5 sandwich, you paid a $10,000 sandwich. Well, that's essentially what's happening when you're buying bottled water. And since America is selling a half a billion bottles every week, think about that, a half a billion bottles every week. That's a lot of bottles to fill up landfills. That's a lot of bottles to send to India, and that's a lot of oil used to make it. So before we even get into the disinfectant byproducts that may be inside the water, we have to think of what drinking bottled water is doing. You know, the EPA should set health protective standards for chemicals that are currently unregulated, but so far they don't. You know, we're drinking twice as much bottled water as we did 10 years ago, about 9 billion gallons, and the revenues are exceeding $12 billion. That's the Beverage Marketing Corporation number. And fundamentally, it's because we believe that water from the tap isn't safe. So if you want to check out the water from the tap, you have to remember that they have to test the right things. even here in Sarasota County, where we've gotten a pretty good report card on tap water. And if you want to look that up, go to the Environmental Working Group and you click on the link that says Find Your Water. And you put in your zip code and your water company and you do a search and they can tell you. The problem is, though, that there are some things in Sarasota County that are only tested for once a year. And yet, Sarasota County Water and the 16 individual water companies that buy from Sarasota County, our water is a different mixture at different times of the day because we use things from the well fields out east, we use stuff from Lake Manatee, we use water that's been stored, and we mix it together in a cocktail. So when you say it isn't safe, at what level are we talking about it isn't safe? You know, a lot of research has gone on to understand that adult health has something to do with the 9 months before birth. There's a huge amount of fetal links that have been set up to heart disease, obesity, diabetes, even schizophrenia and depression, where we're beginning to understand that exposures, small exposures in the womb can change the future of an individual. You know, one of the most striking studies that I recall is the study that was done when Frederica Pereira, who was really working with some of New York City's worst neighborhoods, did a study for the Center for Children's Environmental Health at Columbia University. Pereira got interested in the effects of pollution on fetuses more than 30 years ago, because she was looking at environmental exposures and cancers in adults. And so she's one of the first people that sent out umbilical cord blood and placental tissue to be analyzed and realized that there was a tremendous amount of contamination in it. And so Pereira did a study about a dozen years ago where she took 500 pregnant women and she put them in a backpack, and the backpack was monitoring air levels, just what you're breathing. And so we're not talking about what came out of the glass of water. Right now we're just talking about what you breathe. But I want to make you aware of the fact that when we talk about parts per billion or even parts per trillion, which we can measure some of these toxins in, that they have an effect on the developing fetus. So these 500 women were all over Manhattan and the South Bronx, and they were wearing these backpacks for 2 days. And the air monitoring was going on. And one of the things that they were measuring was the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, the PAHs. Those of you that are regular listeners to No Nonsense Nutrition have heard that term before, PAHs, because we've talked about how these polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons show up when we eat charred food off of a barbecue grill. Well, this type of pollutant also comes from vehicle exhaust. And so it turned out that 100% of the 500 women were exposed to PAHs during their pregnancy. And after their babies were born, they analyzed the cord blood from the infants, and they found out that 40% of them had DNA damage that came from these compounds, damage that was linked to an increased cancer risk. But it turns out that the babies that were exposed to high levels were twice as likely to be cognitively delayed. Their brains didn't work good. They scored lower on assessments that predicts performance in school. It turned out that the children scored lower on IQ tests than the kids who received less exposure to PAHs. So she actually looked at how close these people were living to a busy street and finding out that it affected the brains of their babies. So for those of you out there of childbearing age, this information is even more critical to understand that these compounds, even in low amounts, the 201 unregulated chemicals that were found in one of the studies Environmental Working Group did, they're unregulated. There's nobody checking this stuff. You know, when I talk about the FDA, the failure to do anything, I have to also talk about the EPA, because the EPA is not doing a heck of a lot either. You know, and here we have a new proposition that's been made by one of the chemical, let's think of a nice word to say on the air, somebody who's owned by the chemical industry that's in our United States Congress that wants us now to have the FDA regulate vitamins. Well, they can't even regulate the stuff that they're committed to regulate, and the same thing is true with the EPA. When we realize that two new chemicals a week are the only ones that actually have any studies on them, the EPA approves an average of two new chemicals every day. And 80% of them, they do it within 3 weeks. You know, the EPA currently has registered almost 85,000 chemicals for use in the United States. And 3,000 of them are manufactured in levels over 1 million pounds a year. And 43% of the chemicals used in the highest volume, over 1 million pounds a year, lack any health and safety studies at all, much less any kind of information on their potential to pollute tap water. When we realize that herbicides are spread over a tenth of the country, that 100 billion pounds of fertilizer are used in the United States, that we can find tremendous amount of agricultural activity leftovers in tap water test results. 97 agricultural pollutants, including pesticides and fertilizer ingredients, have been supplied to 215 million people in 46 states. It's not just a little bit now and then. The EPA has failed to set pollution prevention standards for agricultural operations. Those things are mandated under the Clean Water Act, and yet the EPA has done nothing. So that forces water suppliers to treat water supplies to remove pesticides and related pollutants, and it costs taxpayers. When we look at the industrial chemicals detected in tap water that are unrelated, there's no legally mandated limit on those things in the environment or in the water. But, you know, we're not just finding pesticides and herbicides in the water. We're finding antidepressant and anticonvulsive medications, antimicrobial hand soaps, toothpaste chemicals like triclosan, oral contraceptives, thyroid hormones, fragrance compounds, flame retardants, plasticizers like bisphenol A, hormone agents. All of these things are showing up in water because the stuff that you don't metabolize that goes down the toilet ends up in the water. And people mistakenly throw their drugs out, or they throw them in the toilet, the single worst thing they could do. So the potential risks are significant. So the question is, what's a girl to do? Well, we first have to understand how we are polluting this stuff. You know, if the water quality inventory report that was sent to Congress 2 years ago, well, actually, the beginning of last year, 66% of the lakes and 50% of the streams and rivers were in that report, and I put it in quotes, impaired. Impaired means it's unsafe for drinking, fishing, or even swimming. Okay, so that's what the EPA told us last year. They failed to clean up the rivers and the reservoirs that provide drinking water to hundreds of millions of Americans. And they force water utilities to try to decontaminate water that's polluted by these chemicals with more chemicals. So, same question. What's a girl to do? Well, the first thing we have to do is awareness. And then the second thing we have to do is stop buying the blinking plastic bottles. And it's not just the plastic bottles that have a 7 in the little triangle underneath. The 7 meaning that they were likely processed with bisphenol A. We just have to stop buying plastic bottles, and that's all the heck there is to it. You need to get yourself a safe plastic, which is 1s and 2s, and use that for your water. And remember to wash your water bottle. I have had people come into my office and they schlep around their water bottle, but I look at the lid of their water bottle and all of those bacteria from their mouth are growing on their water bottle. Ooh! But what we want to do is filter our tap water. We even have better water than some of the places. You know, when I look at the EWG tap water database that was from last year, Of the top 10 waters in America, Florida isn't on that list at all. But in the bottom 10 waters in America, Florida's on that list twice. Both Pensacola and Jacksonville are listed as two of the 10 worst waters that exist in the United States. So I'll just talk about Tampa and Hillsborough County because they're the nastiest of the bunch in terms of water utilities in Florida reporting chemicals that are exceeding guidelines. I mean, when we think about the Tampa Water Department serves 500,000 people and Hillsborough County Water serves another 300,000 people, and yet they found more than two dozen chemicals, and 14 or 15 of them exceeded health guidelines. So when we realize that, you know, we drive over to Tampa and have dinner sometime or go over to the airport, you're, you know, drinking that tap water, ooh, let's think twice about that. What am I going to do? I'm going to try to have my glass of water in the bottle that I have in the car before I go into the restaurant. So we can get a filter. And, you know, there's all kinds of filters that you can buy. You can buy those little pitchers. And those little pitchers that you pour through do something. The little pitchers that you pour through mostly affect taste and odor. Some of them can take out lead, which is a great big molecule, or chlorine, but they don't reduce any of the other contaminants that have a health concern. So what happens with the pitchers is if you actually add up how much you're spending on those little pour-through filters, you could save up that money and buy a better quality filter. When people talk about distillation, I had a client in last week who was blathering on about distilled water and how they'd read a book on how distilled water was so important. But when you heat water to boiling and it turns into a vapor, and then you collect that vapor and it condenses and that, you know, is cooled and returned to the liquid state, and then that's how you get distilled water. Distilled water does kill cysts like Giardia and Cryptosporidium. Cryptosporidium is very high in Tampa, by the way. But anything that is a volatile chemical, the trihalomethanes that I mentioned before that are come as a byproduct of chlorine, these things are volatile. Volatile means things can be evaporated and then recondensed into a liquid state. So gasoline, fuel oil, dry cleaning solution, things like that are volatile chemicals. Well, when you distill water that contains volatile chemicals, those volatile chemicals recondense into the distilled water. So unless you started out with water that was clean from the beginning, distilling it may actually concentrate some of the volatile compounds that are in there. They're not effectively reduced by distillation, even though distillation does other things. I'm going to put my money on, I'm going to start with activated granular carbon and move on up to solid block carbon, because that's where I think you're going to get the most effect. A lot of people are going to ask about reverse osmosis. That reverse osmosis uses an application of pressure to pass water through a semi-permeable membrane, and the membrane looks like a little diaphragm, rejects contaminants that are suspended in the water, and then the water that is allowed to go through that diaphragm passes into a holding tank. The process is pretty slow, but moreover, it wastes several gallons of water for every gallon that's produced. And so I do believe that Florida is destined to become a desert based on the way that the global heating is going on, because there is no global warming anymore. It is global heating. Again, reverse osmosis doesn't reduce volatile organic compounds. It doesn't take out pesticides. It doesn't take out trihalomethanes. And it wastes water. So unless you have a garden that you're going to put that wastewater onto, of plants, of course, that you're not going to eat, then it just seems ecologically reckless to get a gallon of water and throw 3 gallons away. That just doesn't make any sense. So for that reason, I'm not a fan of RO water. When you look at granulated carbon, A bed of charcoal granules can trap some of the particulate, absorb some of the chlorine, reduces the taste and odors, but the water can actually wiggle its way between the carbon granules and actually avoid filtration. So it can also become a breeding ground for bacterial growth. So, you know, one of the questions, if somebody's got an activation usually means that they're impregnated with silver nitrate, which means that the silver nitrate is the killer of the bacteria. We don't know how much the granular carbon is going to reduce contaminants because we don't know how much the water is channeling around the carbon granules and not really going through the carbon to reduce the compounds. The best of the technology that we have today is solid carbon block technology. That's where water is forced through the pores of a very densely compacted solid carbon block. It's usually about the size of a 1 pound coffee can. And so we have a combination of mechanical filtration and physical absorption to reduce a wide range of contaminants. It will remove the chlorine and other odor-causing problems in there, but it gets rid of cysts and volatile organic compounds and trihalomethanes and heavy metals like lead and mercury and certain pesticides and asbestos, but it doesn't remove the naturally occurring minerals that we need. It doesn't add salt or silver to the water like a water softener would or an activated granular carbon would. So we get refreshing, delicious, safe drinking water. Now you're going to spend a good bit of money originally to get a solid carbon block filter. You're probably going to spend close to $500 by the time that you buy a filter for $350 and install it and give the plumber $100.50. At least that's what it cost me. But once you do that, your cost per year is going to be about $80 just to replace the filter. And if you've got more than two people in the house, maybe you replace the filter twice a year, which means you're going to spend $3 a week in order to keep that filter going, which is how much you spend for one bottle of fancy schmancy water. So solid carbon block technology has got my vote in terms of water filter technologies. You know, I have people that talk to me about these machines that are out there that change the pH of water, the claims of which are very close to Mother Nature's snake oil. There are some benefits that can be had by alkalizing water, but it would take another program for me to talk about pH in order for people to understand that the body will automatically keep the normal alkalinity if we're getting a diet of whole fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. So what am I going to recommend? Well, you know, I'm always going to want to petition the Congress to make sure that we get full disclosure of all test results on contaminants. That they're required to put on the label of the Walmart water that it's actually tap water from Las Vegas. I think we should have a clear and specific disclosure of the name and the location of the source of the water. We constantly need our policymakers, federal, state, and local, to strengthen protection for rivers, streams, and groundwater. These are America's drinking water sources, and for us, it's groundwater. Florida is the only state in the nation that doesn't get any snowmelt. You know, when we look at people turning to bottled water because they distrust the quality of their tap water, and again, sometimes for good reason, we want to understand that both tap and bottled water could be grossly polluted right at its source. And until we do something about the 300 contaminants that were found in the drinking water study that was done all over the nation, we haven't done a very good job in terms of federal, state, and local policymakers. The next thing is that I think that you should drink filtered tap water instead of bottled water. You know, if you pay 0.2 cents per gallon to drink water from the tap, 0.2 cents, and now we put a carbon filter at the tap, and we're still only going to go up to about 0.25 gallon. That's still 12 to 15 times lower than the typical cost of bottled water, and it removes many of the contaminants found in public tap water supplies. You know, a whole house carbon filter strips out chemicals not only from the drinking water, but also water that's used in the shower and the clothes washer and the dishwasher, where they can volatilize in the air for us to breathe them in. When we look at an average four-person household, the cost for that kind of system is about a quarter a person a day. You know, a single gallon of bottled water is going to cost 15 to 25 times that amount. So when we realize that complex mixtures of industrial chemicals that have never been tested for safety could be in bottled water and could be in your tap water, then I think it's really smart for you to filter it. I even got a portable filter that I can carry with me when I travel. It's the same sort of thing that mountaineers use when they end up going back up in the Himalayas, and you say, well, what's being polluted there? Well, it was like when I lived in Colorado. I would have house guests come out to visit me, and they would go to one of these gorgeous Colorado mountain streams. It looked like a Coors commercial. And they would bend down and cup their hands and start to drink out of that water as I would scream, stop! Because they didn't know that 500 yards up the stream was an elk who was pooping in the stream, and that elk or raccoon or whatever it was may have been infected with Giardia, a protozoan infection of the intestine. And so what looked like a pristine stream may be coming off of a mine that's been closed now for 50 years or 100 years, but the tailing field of the mine was alongside of the river or alongside of the stream, and so a lot of those pristine-looking streams in Colorado are heavily contaminated with heavy metals. We would love to have the vision of America that we could walk up the mountain and collect out of those pristine streams. But just like it is in the Himalayas, or just like it is in the way back of Africa, if you get one of those little portable filters, and mine isn't even in the same as big as my little portable hairdryer, that you can throw in the suitcase, and then when you get to the hotel room, you can fill your sink up with water and you can pump your own filtered water. And those things are absolute 1 micron. Remember the key word, absolute 1 micron. That means nothing larger than a micron, which is a millionth of a meter. I mean, picture it. Your hair is about 70 microns wide. So 1/70th the width of your hair is a micron. And that's what those filters get out. You don't want anything but an absolute 1 micron filter if you're talking about spending any money on a solid carbon filter. That's where you're going to get the best bang for your buck. So if we want to get the drugs out of the water, if we want to get the pesticides out of the water, if we want to get the industrial pollutants out of the water, if we want to get the cryptosporidium out of the water, then let's consider NSF International, a testing certification, specifically on a solid carbon filter. Yeah, you're going to spend some money on the top end, but you're protecting your health all the way around. So if we want to look at changing our future, we can change our future by hydrating well. You can do that by using that formula, half of your body weight expressed as ounces. If you weigh 150 pounds, you need 75 ounces of water a day. Start right there. Make sure that that water isn't coming out of a bottle that's using up oil and being shipped from who knows where and then being shipped to India to pollute their environment. Think about putting $10 in a sock every week so that you can save up to get a good quality solid carbon absolute 1 micron filter installed in your house, and you'll be doing a good job to create better health. Don't medicate what needs to be hydrated.